John chapter 20. And we left off with Jesus calling Mary by her name. You know that the angels and then the Lord himself was so sweetly calling her by woman earlier, but she didn't respond to that. And I think there's such a message in that, isn't there? Because that word woman, that means my wife, my bride. And you have to again think where we are in Scripture. And we're in John. And John is the pathway. It's the walk to receiving the Holy Ghost. I think there's so much imagery and symbolism and just foreshadowing of what God, again, has for us. And obviously saw for Mary Magdalene as well, too. That soon she would be filled with the Holy Ghost. Soon, by being filled with the Holy Ghost, she'd be ready to hear Paul's gospel. And I'm just thankful for what the Lord sees in us, aren't you? Because I know I don't see a lot in me sometimes. And I'm so thankful that when I start to look at me and me, somehow, some way, he comes in. And he doesn't just call me by name, but sometimes it whispers to me. And I remember when I was 17 years old out by my car, when he said, "I want to marry you." He wanted me for his wife. And I heard that in my heart. I didn't necessarily hear it in the parking lot, in my ear. But I heard it more importantly in my heart. And I knew that the Lord was dealing with me then. And I believe that this was, again, a precursor for Mary. It's a precursor for us, as he said to her, "Woman." And it's a very sweet thing. But Jesus had that on his mind for Mary even before she ever knew it. Sound like your life too? Like all of our lives? What he has in store for us on his mind for you before we ever knew it. Amen? He knew us in the womb, the Word of God says. And that's the bridal calling that's upon us. And you have to remember, this desire of Christ was upon us in ages past, as the Father said to his Son, it's not good for man to live alone. And thank the Lord that we know that that is true. And again, that's why I'm saying this is why the book of John is the path to the Holy Ghost, to be ready for Paul's gospel. And we'll read here again in a minute, but she turns to him and calls him Rabboni. Rabboni means master, it also means Lord. Wonderful encouragement in that. But it also, there's a meaning of it, which means prince. And I thought that's so fitting because the prince that someday by grace will marry the bridal qualifier. So it's amazing what the Lord can have us even say sometimes when we don't know even what we're saying yet. But that's God and his faithfulness. So let's go ahead and read, even though we studied through some of these verses, but it kind of gets us into this, from verse 9 of chapter 20, and we'll read through 17. But Mary stood without at the sepulcher. So here she is, after she had ran and got Peter and John and them, and they ran and saw the burial clothes in the tomb, but Jesus wasn't there. He's risen, praise God. Actually, let's go back to the 9th verse. So get that scene, and it said, "For as yet they knew not the scripture that he must rise again from the dead." So even though the Lord had ministered to them, even though Jesus had told them that that corn of wheat was going to fall to the ground, it was going to die, but it was going to grow, it was going to be fruitful, it was going to come forth again, they didn't listen. They were too fearful. And isn't that how it is with the truth with us? When we're fearful, we're not really listening to the word of God. We need to hear that perfect love. It says, "Then the disciples went away again into their own home, but Mary stood without at the sepulchre weeping." So she stayed there. "And as she wept, she stooped down and looked into the sepulchre and sees two angels in white sitting at the one at the head and the other at the feet where the body of Jesus had lain. And they say unto her, 'Woman, why weepest thou?' She saith unto them, 'Because they have taken away my Lord, and I know not where they have laid him.' And when she had thus said, she turned herself back and saw Jesus standing, but she knew not that it was Jesus. And Jesus said unto her, 'Woman, my wife, why weepest thou? Whom seekest thou?' She, supposing him to be the gardener, saith unto him, 'Sir, if thou have borne him hence, tell me where thou hast laid him, and I will take him away.' Jesus saith unto her, 'Mary.' She turned herself and said unto him, 'Rabboni,' which is to say, 'Master.' And Jesus saith unto her, Now touch me not. Isn't that beautiful? We see her very first instinct was to just go grab him. and there is a interpretation of this is that don't hold on to me. And we'll get to that in just a minute. But I just love that. I love this about Mary. And remember, she was the lowest of the low. She was the one the demons were cast out of. And just like a pariah of society and all of those things. But here she is the one that remains. And she's the one that Jesus said, "Now, honey, don't touch me." Not that he didn't want to be touched, but there was a reason. He says, "For I am not yet ascended to my Father, but go to my brethren and say unto them, I ascend unto my Father and your Father and to my God and your God." So Mary here at the tomb represents the ones that remain through trial. I love that. She's the one that's going to stay with the stuff. Didn't matter. Didn't matter how tough it got, how whatever. It hurt, didn't maybe really understand. But even if I be otherwise minded, he'll make that known to me. Amen. Praise God. And a lot of times we don't get it. But praise be to God. You know, we can call out in Jesus' name. And that's remaining right there. That's just being still and knowing that he's God, that he'll bring it. But she wouldn't leave. And you think about what a reward she received by not leaving. She saw Jesus first. There's a lot of bridal encouragement in that, isn't it? Those that, you know, as Paul said, I have kept the faith. Amen. At his departure was at hand. He said, I've kept the faith. And praise God, that's what that is. It's just, you know what, just stay with the stuff. Didn't have to be anything impressive. And a lot of, and in that, you know, she wasn't necessarily fully believing. She was hurting. But she wasn't moving. Praise the Lord. See, there's so much here. And she was stooped down. She was bowed down, you know, and as it gives us that visual of it. But what a reward in seeing Jesus first. I was thinking of Song of Solomon 3:4. She says, I have found him whom my soul loveth. I held him and would not let him go. See, that's that kind of heart. See, that was that passion that she had for her Lord. And this is so amazing because Jesus does say to her, touch me not. I have not yet ascended to my Father. And think of this, that even before the Father sees him, she allows her to see him. I love that. I mean, that's just some amazing stuff again. It talks about what it's encouraging us in is that preeminent love. Now, he was going to be completely and perfectly obedient to the Father. And this was obviously part of that wonderful perfection. But what bridal imagery again that this woman, this bride, is his first love. I think that's so mighty. Now, I'd like to just take a moment. Now, Jesus has not ascended yet to the Father. We know that in Ephesians, I think it's 4:8, where it says there that he led captivity captive. So, again, that he was going to take those that had been in Upper Sheol for all of that time, all of those worthies of faith in the Old Testament and all of them, they were right there in Upper Sheol. And amazing that the Lord so sweetly went in there and encouraged, ministered, and all of those things. But now it was time to go. But they weren't going to go there until he was there first. Because the first fruits had to be offered. So so beautiful. What is that? Leviticus 23, 10 and 11. It was during the harvest, whenever the harvest would be, they would take the first fruits in, and the priest would offer that first fruit up to God. And we know that Jesus entered into heaven before any of the other ones did, as he led captivity captive. Now, in that, many will talk about, well, when did Jesus ascend? Well, again, we talk about time being nothing to God. And we're going to read here in just a minute that, you know, this is the Lord that can walk through doors now and do, you know, just be here and there and everywhere. Amen? But if we're talking about that and we're going to visit on it, I sincerely believe that, you know, after he spoke to Mary, you know, because there'll be discussions, well, you know, did he go to the Father one time before, you know, he left right before Pentecost, you know, when he ascended up into heaven? Did he go to the Father just once? Did he go? I don't know how many times he went to the Father, but I know he went there, and I know he was there first. And I know he took with him Upper Shiel. Praise God. And I'm thankful to the Lord. So could it have been that he ascended after he saw Mary? Absolutely. If you go on over to Luke, though, this will answer something for you as well, too. Now, in Luke chapter 24, in that 24th chapter, it's kind of the same scene that Luke is speaking of here. And in the 24th chapter towards the end, this is after Jesus comes back that night. And, well, first of all, before he comes back that night, he meets those two on the road to Emmaus. So like I'm saying, he's getting around because he's everywhere. Praise the Lord. And so he goes over and he sees those two at the road to Emmaus and he ministers to them. Then he's gone. Then they run back and they get with the 11 that were waiting for him, you know, as part of the 11 that he's going to go visit with, that he told Mary to go tell him that I'm going to ascend to God. So this is the same day. So he goes back over there, and he has a wonderful appearance to them as he stands in the midst of them, as we'll read in a minute, showing him his holes in his hands, and John is going to be the hole in his side. But look at this. Later on that same night, it says, "And it came to pass, while he blessed them, he was parted from them and carried up into heaven." Well, my, oh, my. So see, we know that he ascended. Exactly when and how many times and all of those different things, I praise God that he did go to the Father. Because, see, there was a perfection in that, brothers and sisters, when he said, "Touch me not." But also, as I mentioned earlier, that also can be interpreted, "Hold me not." And I love this encouragement as well, too. Don't hold on to my visual presence. This gives me encouragement that we're no longer to look upon his bodily presence. We're preparing to live by the power of the Holy Ghost. We're preparing, praise God, to live by the most holy faith. We are being encouraged not to live by sight, but to live by faith. Amen? So this is such a wonderful message to us. And yes, the Father must be completely satisfied, because the Father is going to be satisfied because this is his plan. And it's going to be his plan, and it's all in the Word. And the first fruit must be received by the Father. So we see, praise God, this first resurrection day, Christ, the first fruit, goes, praise God, to the Father. But he'll soon be back later that night to those brethren. And that's just it, because he tells Mary, "Go to my brethren." Do you know that's the first time he calls them brethren? He's called them friends. But now they're my brothers. Oh, that's such a sweet transformation there. Go over to John 12, 24. See, because this is what's fulfilled. John 12, 24. I love this. "Verily, verily, I say unto you, except a corn of wheat fall into the ground and die, it abideth alone. But if it die, it bringeth forth much fruit." And thanks be to God that Jesus Christ has brought many sons to glory. And this is such encouragement to us. And notice here, too, as we read this, he's really emphasizing his ascension, isn't he? "I ascend." See, that's the emphasis. I'm going to who? Not just my Father, but he says to our Father. My Father, your Father, my God, your God. The oneness, the acceptance in the Beloved. We, through his death and resurrection, have his same place of sonship with the Father. And that's what it is. That's what he's saying. And yet, you know, we read through this quickly. I got through the Bible in 9 months. How about staying in this verse and understanding what he's done? Amen? I mean, and then you just, man, the Bible moves through you. You don't move through the Bible. It's just amazing how the Word of God. But brothers and sisters, he's placed us, and that's what he's encouraging them. This is our Father. This is our God. Now are we the sons of God. And I thank the Lord that, praise the Lord, God wanted a family. And praise the Lord, Jesus Christ wants a wife. But see, he too wants all our hopes and aspirations, living seated in the heavens in Christ, to be with Jesus. The longing to be with Jesus and the longing to be with the Father, that's abundant living. That's abundant life. Amen? That's how we should live. that abounding hope of the coming of the Lord. Thanking God that Jesus always encouraged that, you know, through all of John as we've been reading this. You know, I'm going to go. And you're going to be there. And I've got to go to prepare this place for you. And I'll come again. And thanking the Lord that we have a heart in tune to hear this. But you think about Mary again, and what a blessing. She was really like an apostle to the apostles, wasn't she? The most lowly one, and yet, and even these other women as well too, in Luke and Matthew, you read about this, they were the ones that first received from Jesus to tell the others. Praise God. And I pray that speaks to us that it's not about a title. It's about a heart. It's about hearing. It's about being submissive. It's about truly even brokenness before him. But you think, who else was the apostle to the apostles? Ask Peter. It was Paul, wasn't it? And what did Paul bring? Paul brought the bridal message. Paul brought the message to be the wife. Kind of like a womanly thing. The woman was the one who brought it. And I just think this is so beautiful. And all, again, of these parallels, the symbolism that it was the women first. They knew. They testified to the disciples that he had risen. It was the weak, the tearful, the sorrowful ones that sowed in tears, but they were the ones that reaped in joy. Amen. See, there's a difference in sadness and fear. And there is. And these, I don't think the women were fearful in a sense. I'm sure that might have dealt with that a little bit. But there was a sorrow that was very apparent in Mary Magdalene. And just a sadness. Whereas we're going to read here in a minute, the reason that these disciples were gathered together, they shut the doors because they were fearful. I know they were sad too, but there was a lot of fear. And, you know, let's not go pointing fingers because we've all been there. But let's go ahead and read verse 18. Mary Magdalene came and told the disciples that she had seen the Lord and that he had spoken these things unto her. And notice she says, I have seen the Lord. The Lord. And I was so touched by another definition of the Lord, or what Lord means, to whom a person belongs. We belong to him. Isn't that beautiful? I just belong to you, Jesus. I am my beloved's, and his desire is toward me. Amen? My Lord, my bridegroom. It's all there. Praise God. My King. It's so precious and so true. But no wonder Paul, in the Word of God, in his epistles, uses the word Lord more than any other writer in the Word of God, because he knew that he was the Lord's. But as it says in Luke, the disciples first received Mary's testimony as an idle tale. They thought she was not telling the truth. They thought she was just telling a story. Isn't that something? See, they didn't believe. But I think about what wondrous love, because Jesus knew that his brethren, he calls them brethren, amen? He says, go tell my brethren. You know, go tell my brothers in the Lord. Even though I know my brothers in the Lord aren't going to believe you. They're going to be completely in unbelief. And I'm calling them greater than a friend. I'm calling them a brother. And the very first way they're going to meet this testimony is unbelief. You talk about the grace of God. Amen? Get encouraged about this. Praise the Lord. Remember, he was the one that was rejoicing the Father a few chapters back. Oh, Father, you gave me these. They're so beautiful to me. Look at how wonderful they are. And all they were was totally fearful. They were all going to run out on him. And they all did run out of him because he told them they would. And here they are, and here he's risen, and here he's sent someone that has seen him. Oh, he's risen. He's risen. He's here. Don't tell us that. Don't give us that right now. But you know what this did to Jesus? It only encouraged him the more to go see him. Isn't that something? See, he knew, but he was just really just chomping at the bit. I'm going to be there. I'm going to see them tonight. And praise God, and he did. And again, take faith in Jesus in everything. I think this is so encouraging to my heart. We know this verse, calling those things which be not as though they were. Amen. And this is that really some of the first testimony of that in the New Testament in this regard with Jesus again and his death. They didn't see him anymore. But they had the word, but they didn't call those things which be not as though they were. So you can have the word, but you need to believe the word of God. Amen. Because the word works effectually, powerfully in them that believe. Not just knowing it, not just reading it, but by the grace of God, believing it. And how do we abound in the hope of believing? Through the power of the Holy Ghost. Amen. Do you see why this is that journey again? Did you get a chill right there again, thinking again how perfect your Lord is? Because he's bringing in the Holy Ghost, because he knows they need that power to believe him. And then they don't even understand they're really going to need the power of the Holy Ghost to believe him, because he's not even going to tell them anymore that this is about brethren. I can even make you a wife if you let me. Huh? That's some faith. Praise God. So you see this ministry is just growing and growing and growing in its immensity. So again, Jesus knows their unbelief, but Jesus has an appointment with them later that night. Verses 19 and 20. Then the same day at evening, being the first day of the week, when the doors were shut, where the disciples were assembled for fear of the Jews, came Jesus and stood in the midst and saith unto them, peace be unto you. And when he had said so, he showed unto them his hands and his side. Then were the disciples glad when they saw the Lord. Isn't that precious? I just love that, you know. He met them at that moment. Even though the door was shut, that door shut. Think about how we shut the door on him. Amen? We shut him out because we're fearful and unbelief. But nothing's hard for God, and he stands right there in their midst. Don't you love how Jesus does that in your life? When you don't believe God, but he stands right there and he says, I ain't moving. I'm not moving. We're not going this way. I love you, and you're going to believe me. I'm going to show you. And what does he show you? He shows you the word. And he shows you such intimacy in the word of God. What did he show them? He showed them immediately as he's speaking these things. Look at the holes in my hands. You see that? See, what he's showing them is the finished victory. That's what he shows us all the time, that it is finished. That's what he shows us every moment that we really look at him. He said, it's the finished work on the cross, honey. That's why more than a conqueror, more than a conqueror you are through Christ, through me, because I love you. Amen? And it's finished. And I thank God so much that he penetrates that shut door. We're not always believing God, and we need to get over ourselves if we think we are. We need to just get on our knees and pray him for the grace of God that comes right through the door, that comes right through even when we shut him out, that even in unbelief, he abides faithful. And I see that abiding. I'm seeing it in a precious, mighty way. He just stands right there. I ain't leaving. I'm not going to have this, honey. We're not going to do this. And notice again his first words, peace unto you. Even in their unbelief. See, the Lord doesn't come in and chastise them. He doesn't come and belittle them. No, he knows what they need. And I thank God in showing those holes in the hands too. I've made peace with God for you. Amen. I've made peace with God for you. So even in your unbelief, God's not going to strike you dead. Because I've made peace. I'm the atonement. I'm the sacrifice. So much here. Amen. And again, he shows him his hands. He shows him his side. And how we need to believe in that finished work on the cross. It's sweet. In the book of Luke, Jesus, it says, shows him at this time. Luke sees it. He shows him his hands and his feet. And I thank God for that, because Luke shows Jesus as the man. But here we see that he shows him the holes in his hands, and he shows him the hole in his side or in his rib. And I think about how precious that is, because, see, that's what John revealed. John the lover. John was looking into that side. And remember, the word side is rib. And again, that rib speaks of the rib portion. And I'll tell you what, that was a big hole. Because remember, he's going to tell Thomas, well, maybe not tonight, we'll get there. But he said, Thomas, you go ahead and put your fingers or your, you know, into my holes in my hand, but you go ahead and stick your whole fist in my side. And I tell you what, I think it's just because he wanted us to get a really good view of his heart. You think so? I do. I think he wanted to just see, honey, I want you to see my heart. See, that's John the lover, the disciple that Jesus loved. Have to remember where we're at again. Put all these things together. Let the Holy Ghost do it. But this is the disciple that Jesus loved. John never bragged about his love for Jesus. John always bragged about Jesus' love for him. He always was looking to Jesus' love for him. His comfort, the breast, was always because Jesus' love for him. And I thank the Lord that this is what's being magnified here. He's showing those wonderful holes in the hand. Hallelujah. But he's showing that pierced, that wounded side, that rib portion, the wife that was made for Adam. Hallelujah. The Son of God, the lover, and through his hands and through his side, they were glad because they saw the Lord. Isn't that wonderful? See, natural man wouldn't think, well, what do you mean? You see wounded Jesus? That we want to see the Lamb. There's nothing else I want to see. Because that's what the Father is pleased with, is the Lamb. Remember when they're in heaven, it says, behold the Lamb. Behold the Lamb. Praise God. See, without the shedding of blood, there's no remission of sin. We know that. Jesus, I believe you because you suffered, you died, and you rose for me. And brothers and sisters, when we see his great love in those nail-pierced hand inside, you know what you see? You see his love. You see the absolute love of Jesus. And that's why those that receive that fullness of his love and love him with it, they are called the Lamb's wife. Isn't that, again, something? It's all about the Lamb. It's the bride is the Lamb's wife. Praise God. I'm thankful for the bride of Christ, but you get into there into Revelation, it's the Lamb's wife. Yes, so we glory in that finished work. All right, let's go on to verse 21. Then Jesus said to them again, peace be unto you. As my Father hath sent me, even so I send you. So again, Jesus says to him, peace be unto you. But this is different because now he's giving them encouragement in that peace. He says, as my Father sent me, even so I send you. So what Jesus is saying here is, honeys, the same love and the same purpose, the same truth in love, hallelujah, is what you're being sent out, the same truth in love that I came for. This is the calling upon us and the reality that gives us the peace of God to know our purpose with the Father and with Jesus. And I'll tell you what, when we know that purpose, I'll tell you what, we have the peace of God. We don't just have peace with God, we have the peace of God. And I thank God that, you know, our lives are so simple, just like Jesus. Just go on in the truth. Just take a little walk, hallelujah, and we walk in the light. That is truly the simplicity of it. Was Jesus planning on what he was going to do tomorrow? Was Jesus planning on, you know, what he was, you know, what we were going to do, what we're going to get accomplished? No, he was in the fellowship with the Father of that day. And I thank God. And that's why he's saying it. It is the same. I'm sending you out in the same way. I'm showing you. You live by faith. By me. The word. And that is just so apparent and such a peace to our hearts. Okay, let's go ahead and read 22 and 23. And when he had thus had said this, he breathed on them and saith unto them, receive ye the Holy Ghost. Whosoever sins ye remit, they are remitted unto them. And whosoever sins ye retain, they are retained. Now, so many want to misinterpret this over and over throughout the Word of God until we get to Acts. Again, and Jesus even says early in Acts, he says, you'll have power after the Holy Ghost come upon you. This isn't them receiving the Holy Ghost. And I want us to look into this just for a moment tonight to really understand what Jesus is saying. Go on over to Genesis 2:7. Genesis 2:7, it says, and the Lord God formed man of the dust of the ground and breathed into his nostrils the breath of life, and man became a living soul. That exact wording pretty much exactly as it says how he breathed. He breathed into his nostrils, that breath. That exact wording is only used two times in the Word of God. Right there in Genesis 2:7 and right over here in John 20:22. And it's speaking of the breath of life from the Lord. At that time, what we just read was the first man, that breath that gave the first man a living soul. But here we have the last Adam. And this breath is not just a living soul. This breath is the new life. This is a spiritual life. This is the quickening spirit. This is the new birth. But I thank the Lord, too, because can you imagine there's dual meaning all over the Word of God in so many layers? But after they actually, because soon they're going to actually receive the Holy Ghost. The Bible says that there will be a baptism, praise God, with fire in Acts 2. And after they have that baptism, they will have power to preach the Word of God. What we just read here, to represent the gospel of Christ to others. See, there's an authority that's going to be given to them. What does it say in verse 23? Whosoever sins ye remit, they are remitted unto them. And whosoever sins ye retain, they are retained. See, they needed to have the power of the Holy Ghost to go preach this word. And I mean to preach the Word of God and to stand in the things of the Word of God. Because they were going to be abused. They were going to be ridiculed. Soon after they started preaching the Word of God, what happened to them? They were chained, they were whipped, they were imprisoned, all of those different things. There had to be the love shed abroad in their hearts by the Holy Ghost. Amen? It wasn't just an encouragement to preach powerfully. It had to be a loyalty, and not just a loyalty, but a passion and a love that only the Holy Spirit could put up in a heart that would say, look, I'm willing to be beaten. I'm willing to suffer for Jesus to preach this word. And that's what the Holy Ghost did. You think about that, how they were all psyched up about being with Jesus all the time. Peter said it. Thomas said it. I'm ready to die for you. I'm going to die for you. They're not going to take you. I'm not going to let them take you. And without the power of the Holy Ghost, what happened when all of that stuff came down? They all ran away. Not one of them remained. They were all gone. But after they received the power, the infilling of the Holy Ghost, it's a whole different deal. Because why? Because perfect love casts out all fear. The Holy Ghost and love shed abroad in our hearts casts out all fear. Let me ask you something in your own lives. As you've yielded to God and you've lived this life by the grace of God, and I pray that it's happening right now, but the times that you're in tune with the fullness of the Holy Ghost in your life, you're not fearful, are you? When have the times we've been very fearful? And I'll tell you, when we start to get fearful, what, by the grace of God, is the natural reaction, spiritual reaction, I should say, that he puts in our life? Hit our knees, call out to God, and I'll have to tell you, just let me take it and take your tongue, praise the Lord, because there just is such a power in the infilling of the Holy Ghost. Why do you think back there in David, he said, you know, Lord, I lift my hands to you, and I'm starting to realize something. The enemy has to withdraw. Huh? Well, praise the Lord. Thank you, Jesus. And for the most part, when I see people really get hit with the fire of the Holy Ghost, they don't go like this, they go like this. Amen? They're praising God. They're giving it up and giving him the glory and lifting the hands to him. And that's the power. But the power comes from the love shed abroad. And then as love is shed abroad in your heart, you want to know more truth. And there's the same one, the Holy Ghost, to bring you more truth. And then as that continues, that's the grace for grace. You get the truth, you get the love. You get the truth, you get the love. And what happens? It just keeps multiplying. And multiplying and multiplying. The more you love, the more truth you want. The more truth you get in love, the more love that's put into your life, you increase the more. And you see it. And the Holy Ghost shows it to you. Here a little, there a little. He'll bring little sermons. I was so thankful to him for Sunday. I never saw that in Simon before. Thanks be to God. And even ministering up here, I thank the Lord that, again, he just ministered to me. Man, son, can you imagine what I was saying to Simon? That joy that was set before me. Why do you think he went on? He saw me. He saw the smile. He heard my praise. He wasn't just looking at me. He couldn't really look at anything anyways, but he could hear me. I'm just thanking the Lord. But see, this was the authority to preach. And through the word's power, it says here that they could, what does it say there? They could remit sins. Whosoever sins you remit, and whosoever sins you retain, they are retained. That's a powerful statement if you really think about it. But brothers and sisters, do you know that it is the same for us by the grace of God? You know, we can be used of the Lord to lead somebody to Jesus. Amen? Amen. And in leading somebody to Jesus, and they accept the Lord as we pray with them. And you know what? I can tell them by the grace of God, because of the word of God, your sins are forgiven. Praise the Lord. Your sins have been cast into the sea of forgetfulness. They're as far as the east is from the west. You're justified. Praise be to God. And it wasn't because of me. It wasn't because they confessed something to me. It's because Jesus Christ, the Word, cleansed them. Amen. Right? And then I can also say the opposite by the power of the Holy Ghost to somebody too that I might witness to. And they say, I don't need that. I could tell them, well, you're still dead in your trespasses and sin. And I feel sorry for you. And we need to pray for one another. There's a young man here on Easter Sunday, and I sure appreciate him. I've been here a few times. Don't believe he's accepted Christ yet. But just a little bit more openness and a little bit more boldness here and there. But just by the grace of God, we don't need to smack people over the head. But at the same time, don't be walking on eggshells with them. Amen. We need to let them know they need the word of God. But in closing here tonight, as powerful as that grace was to the disciples, think about the double portion of the word of his grace that we have been entrusted with Paul's gospel. Yeah, isn't that something? You know, you're talking about power to tell somebody or that they've retained or remitted sin. But now we're talking about Paul's gospel. We're talking about that gospel that will judge the hearts and secrets of men by Jesus Christ according to my gospel. That's what Paul says, my gospel. And we've been instructed and commanded to preach no other gospel. Paul's gospel, the testament of those that will rule and reign jointly together with him. That's powerful stuff. That's really beyond comprehension to think, thank you, Jesus. To whom much is given? Oh, we have been given, haven't we? Amen. And then to just pour forth that truth in love, to go forth. And as Paul said, I have withheld nothing. I haven't withheld anything. And brothers and sisters, that we're not ashamed of the gospel of Christ. It is the power of God unto salvation to everyone who believes. And I'm thankful that we need to be an open book of Paul's gospel to people. I was thinking about that. Whatever our relationship would be, no matter, by God's grace, that's the fellowship we need. And it won't be in abundance. I pray it would, but it probably won't. Not trying to be negative. I'm just telling you as the word of God would tell you it is. There's not many that'll come after this. There's not many that are going to think that this would be something that's attractive. But by the grace of God, before we've wasted too much of our life and too much of our time with people, to move on. I appreciated how the Lord encouraged Paul. Paul was out there so excited. He was going to just preach the word everywhere in a lot of ways in this thing. But the Lord said, no, Paul, you're going to pass by this city and you're going to pass by that city. And I'm going to tell you where you're going to give the utterance is going to be. Amen. And that's why, I mean, I've been thinking about young people. And, you know, I've been dealing with some people that are thinking about getting married and all of these different things. You either will stand for the truth or you're going to compromise it. Not going to go, the neutral you can't be. You're either going to go on in the glory of God or you're going to settle. And you'll be so thankful by the grace of God when you stand in His love. You'll be so rewarded by the grace of God when we stand with Christ as our first love by the grace of God. We'll, on the other side of that, you'll be so sorry that you didn't. There's a heaviness. There's a leanness to a soul that you experience when you don't go on with God. We all know that in one way, shape, or form in times of our life when we don't believe God. You know, when we kind of move in unbelief, there's a leanness. It don't sit right because God ain't going to let it sit right. You're His. But especially with our relationships with people by the grace of God, I just want to be around people with like precious faith. I do anymore. I can tell you right now, by the grace of God, you make me feel better. You make me happy. I'm thankful. I'm strengthened. I'm grateful to God. I'm thankful for however Christ is preached. But I have to tell you, man, when I hear those testimonies from as the Word of God and the epistles of John later on, they're called the fatherly ones, those fatherly kinds. And then we'll call them the motherly kind, those elderly women too, the wisdom that they have, those words that, you know, just one thing, oh my goodness, I'm soaring. It just set it all right. Amen? I think we got it. But see, Paul's gospel is that testimony. In Paul's gospel, you think the power beyond all in that wondrous word of His grace. The power beyond all in the wondrous word of His grace. And I pray, brothers and sisters, that we'd be just more encouraged in this. That's why, again, Jesus is saying, you know, as He breathes on them, that's another, again, soon, you're going to be filled with the Holy Ghost. He's been with you, and He is going to be in you. And praise the Lord for the peace that passes all understanding that truly abides in the virtuous woman. You know, she just doesn't toil with things. She's just like that little lily. She just grows into something more magnificent than even all the riches of Solomon couldn't clothe him as beautiful as that wonderful lily that did nothing. What do you think? That's the grace of God, isn't it? Praise His name. Sure love you. Thankful for the word. And in Jesus' name, I pray we grew up just a little bit more tonight. Amen? Amen. Let's stand, and Brother Walter, you dismiss us.